This is the North Georgia Life Podcast. Embrace life where you live. Welcome back to the North Georgia Life Podcast. It is Jake, your host. Today's episode, we're at Old Toccoa Farm. Now, this property in the North Georgia area is, I want to say it's like a best kept secret, but I think the secret is getting out. In fact, I know the secret is getting out because people are starting to flock there from all over the place. And for a couple great reasons. One, the property itself is gorgeous. Like, it's literally one of these things. Like, you're driving along, you're like, am I in the right place? Driving along, and then bam, it's there. And you're like, oh my goodness, absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous golf course, gorgeous drive, scenery. It would not be hard for you to make an absolutely amazing three-day weekend out of it if you just want somewhere new to explore in the North Georgia area that you've not been to. If, you know, maybe somebody in your family likes to golf, or maybe you like to drive a cart while they golf, or whatever. There's so much stuff to do. But today's episode, we're actually at a golf tournament that they were hosting for a couple pretty incredible local nonprofits in the area. So want to share their story. It's actually the most people I've ever had go on the podcast in terms of sharing what and the why and the how behind different facets of this property and the nonprofits involved. So we kind of combined a couple different things into one episode, and I think I'm certain you're going to learn some great stuff that is going to make you want to do something, support something, or go somewhere in our local North Georgia area. And again, all of these people, the thing that I love the more I do this is they're people who are just like you and I. Like, no one is incredibly, gifted in life. There's no silver spoons that connect all the people. It is just people who wanted to do something, make a difference, start something in our local North Georgia area. This is a small thing that I can do to help get their stories out and share what they're doing and hopefully get them a little bit more publicity and hopefully a little bit more momentum moving forward. So with that as an intro, we'll get started. You know how to find us online: Facebook, Instagram, North Georgia Life Podcast. Email us at northgeorgialifepodcast@gmail.com. If you have suggestions, thoughts, want to get connected, want to find better way to reach out to any of the people on the podcast in terms of connecting with them, anything we can do to help, we're here to help. All right, welcome to the North Georgia Life Podcast. It's Jake, your host, and today we are, this is probably the most beautiful day of the year we've had so far. This is, you guys could not have asked for a better day today.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And we are at a really unique place and location and function, and that's why we're here. We are at Old Toccoa Farm with Lisa Smith, and we are at the Dream Builders Golf Tournament, which is at Old Toccoa Farm, which, if you've not been here, this is my first time on the grounds. Absolutely gorgeous.
It
oh my
is.
Gosh.
It is. Yeah.
Just like, even if you don't like golf, you need to just come here and just drive around. I don't know if you can drive around. I don't know if that's allowed.
No, you can. Okay. Actually. Yeah. It's really unique about Old Toccoa Farm is not only a golf course, mm-hmm. but the tavern just opened up, which has the pro shop. And we're going to have a restaurant and bar that's going to be open to the public soon.
Awesome.
So this week, actually, they just finished it. They're stair-stepping it, and the first part of it actually is going to only be open to members and members' families, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, with the meals and stuff. And then in another month or two, it'll be open to the public. So you can come on take in the views.
Yes, take
it's
in the
awesome.
Views.
Oh, my gosh, beautiful mountain.
So we were just talking. You and I are both transplants.
We're
from the north, and we came down south, and we're not leaving. So you're originally from New York.
I am.
And what ended up bringing you to the south?
Right. So originally from upstate New York, went to college in the South, in mm-hmm. South Carolina. Parents moved to Atlanta when I was in college and stayed in the Atlanta area, and had a second home in the area. Mm-hmm. And then my sister had a second home. And then anyway, kind of ended up in Blue Ridge from a golfing family. So got involved with with Old Tacoma Farm.
Yeah, this is not a bad place to get plugged back into the golf world.
No, I know. I know. It's absolutely incredible. In fact, several years ago, you know, they had Old Tacoma Farm had put out a pamphlet. That was when it was only 9 holes. Mm-hmm. And came over, took a look at it, and just fell in love with it. Yeah. And has seen it grow. You know, the other 9 sort of happened. Yep. And then the tavern and everything. So it's been wonderful to see.
So we're going to get in, meet some of the other people involved in the golf tournament. But one of the unique things about this tournament that just kind of a functional difference is you've got a really full day today. You have 2 flights.
Like, we did. Like, yeah, we sure did.
What, 36 holes being played today?
Yeah, yeah. So we had 2 shotguns.
Yep.
One started at 9 o'clock, full field. And then we have another shotgun at 2:30.
Wow.
Full field.
That's a busy day at a golf course.
It is. It is.
And as most places that have golf tournaments do not have the volume of that, I think it is a very telling sign. One, obviously gorgeous location, but 2, really, really good cause behind the golf tournament, sure, which we're going to get into. Anything just from your experience with the golf tournament, with the Dream Builders themselves, that you would want to share with the greater audience in terms of what's awesome about it, how it's impacted you, or anything like that?
Sure. Well, first of all, the tournament today is a charity tournament. Mm-hmm. It benefits 2 charities, Habitat for Humanity, which a lot of people are familiar with, and the other one is for Open Arms. Open Arms is a home for teenage girls, mm-hmm, who have had just some trouble in their lives, mm-hmm, who have a place to land, and who have just done incredible in life.
Yeah.
You know, as they've gone through high school and then, you know, had the foundation, you know, given to them from people that have helped with, yeah, Open Arms.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's teenage years are difficult enough, much less for the current student population that's growing up. And then having to live through COVID, it's got some additional, sure, life stressors that,
sure,
can throw some curveballs in life and family. And so this is something that I think is when I found out about it, I was like, yes, absolutely, we have to get this on the podcast. And didn't know the weather was going to be absolutely picture perfect. So wasn't a bad drive either. So we're going to get into some of the supporting cast of the tournament and the small businesses, the nonprofits, and we'll kind of take it from there.
Sure. Sounds great.
Awesome. Okay, so we are transitioning to Mike Rutan, who you're the director of Open Arms.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct? So give us a little background on you. Where are you originally from?
I am originally from South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay.
My wife took a job as a social worker in Georgia. I moved up with her. We've gone back and forth between Texas and Louisiana, but ended up back in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love the area. You can't beat the privacy. You can't beat the scenery up here.
I was going to say, it's hard to not love this area.
It's really awesome. And it's a great backdrop for these girls.
Mm-hmm.
Open Arms is a foster care home,
okay,
that can house up to 10 young ladies. We care for girls that are ages 12 to 21.
Okay.
Just young ladies. There's another group that's looking at trying to open up another home, maybe possibly for boys, but right now we only do girls.
Yeah.
The home itself was a brainchild of the leadership Fannin, one of the classes back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that the need was so great that they needed to open up a home because what they were seeing was a lot of children being placed in defects care several hours away.
Yeah.
And it just put so much of a strain on the family itself. I mean, the situations for these young ladies, it might just simply be at one small issue that the family has to deal with. And if all they need to do is fix one thing,
yeah,
it's difficult for them to be able to focus on that if the children are so far away.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to keep them closer. That way the girls can stay in their same school. They, mm-hmm, have the same friends. They're not uprooted from everything they know, which is why they felt that they needed a home in Fannin County.
Yeah.
They raised money. 2013, they were able to open the doors to the first home they had. 2018, there was actually a fire that burned that house down. Mm. And they were able to relocate. Fannin County came together and a lot of generous donations. The house burned down right before Thanksgiving.
Oh, man.
And 3 days before Christmas, they were in a new home, tree, loaded down with presents.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just a blessing.
Wow.
And the home that they relocated to is more of a home. It's a two-story home, 6 bedrooms. We use 5 of them for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very welcoming place. It's very homey.
Mm-hmm.
So the girls feel... They can kind of take a break and forget their situation for a while. Mm. That's how nice it is.
Yeah. Did you grow up in volunteer nonprofit world, or what brought you into this kind of role capacity? Because this is very unique.
I got a business degree from the University of South Carolina. I got my master's from Baker College in Flint, Michigan, which I actually spent some time in civil engineering.
Okay.
And then once the bubble back in 2007, 2008, a lot of those places were not operating very highly. There was not a lot of business for them.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife was a social worker. She got me hooked up at a facility out in Texas. And I got into it, started moving up, got to be a caseworker. And it's just nice to be able to actually see progress made with the people you're working with.
Yeah.
To be able to help them and to be able to get them independent to a way to where they can do things for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is the main purpose of Open Arms, is to take girls in that are in bad situations and just to help them become the women that they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these girls, some of them might be homeless or have been homeless, or they bounced around from foster home to foster home. No continuity whatsoever. They come to us and we try to get them to understand that they can make mistakes, but we're still going to be there with them to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken girls in that, like I said, had been homeless. They might have gone to school once or twice a year, and we get them back on track to where they're graduating. And I think we're at like a 95%, almost 100% graduation rate.
Wow.
All of our girls, at least by the time they leave, they're either graduated or they're on pace to graduate.
Yeah, and that's, you said early as 12 or 10? What was that?
We are licensed for 12 years old.
Okay.
Now, occasionally we will take girls that are younger. Like, for instance, right now we have an 11-year-old
mm-hmm.
because her sister is also placed with us.
Gotcha.
So the state of Georgia, foster care in general, likes to keep siblings together.
Yeah.
So if a girl, let's say a sibling pair that are like 13, 11, We've taken a girl as young as 9 before because
mm-hmm.
the same reason, her sister was with us.
Yeah.
So we can accommodate younger as long as the state lets us.
Yeah. The tournament today is, I would imagine, a significant part of the fundraising for the organization.
Yes.
That's the
this fundraiser, and a special thanks to Peter Knutson and the team at Old Tocoa Farms for letting us have this tournament, us and Habitat for Humanity. Another great organization that does a lot of good for people.
Mm-hmm.
This fund, most of our funds do unfortunately have to come from either donations or fundraisers like this.
Mm-hmm.
The state does give us a per diem to be able to run the house. However, it doesn't cover all the expenses that these girls need. Plus, we try to go above and beyond with as far as... We have funds set aside for different programs to try to go above and beyond where we're trying to get these girls work.
Mm-hmm.
We try to, and it's an enrichment account. We try
mm-hmm.
to enrich their lives above and beyond just having a bed, having a roof.
Yeah.
We want to bring ladies in that will help them understand how to interview, how to look for work, how to put resumes together, how to basically just become ladies that are responsible and can raise a family of their own one day.
Yeah, that's awesome. What, from a general public perspective, you've been in this world, you've seen, you know, the good, bad, the ugly, from, you know, great success stories to, you know, so much, a number of the nonprofits that we've had on the podcast before, there's almost like this blind ignorance, if you will, of what the general public doesn't even know exists in their own backyards. from that lens and from a lens of like, hey, if you just like playing golf or your business has done well and you'd like to support a good cause, this is a great place to do it. And it's obviously gorgeous up here. But from a practical standpoint of just helping what I would say the common person, general public that doesn't, this isn't on their radar in terms of their day-to-day, helping them understand some of the tangible benefits and the functional life change that you see being on the ground level in this day-to-day, what would you share or give somebody a story of encouragement and what you've seen your program do? And
okay. Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head at the beginning, because of when you're talking about awareness, you're talking about people not even realizing that we're in their backyard. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that reason is if you could kind of take a step back for a second and think, these children that are made to leave their homes, they're taken away from their parents for whatever reason, or they might just not have family to care for them. And they're placed in a home with other children they've never seen before and in very similar situations. And a lot of these children are almost embarrassed, or they don't want people to know what their situation is. So we can't really advertise, hey, this girl is one of ours. We can't show them to the public. We can't broadcast that because we're trying to respect their privacy and respect that they don't want to be shown in that light. Mm-hmm. So we try to maintain some sense of anonymity and just keeping their privacy. Yeah. So it is kind of difficult when we're, you know, trying to tell people what good we're doing, what things are happening, because we don't want to put these children in that kind of light, because we don't want to make their lives even harder than they are. So, but what I can say is we see a lot of our girls now going to colleges. We just had a young lady that applied and was accepted to UCLA, UGA, UNLV, USC, Southern California. She ended up taking a full ride to Georgia Tech.
Wow.
On academic merit.
Wow.
So, and her story is very special because she was in a situation to where there was no one to care for her, no family. There was nowhere for her to go until she came to us, and we kept her close. We kept her around familiar environment, and gave her the opportunity to succeed. She was on all kind of debate teams. She was in FBLA. We signed her up for any interest that she had. Mm-hmm. We made sure that she was able to follow it.
Yeah.
We had a girl go to Kennesaw State. We've got girls now that are looking at different technical colleges and different fields. So we believe that we're giving these girls opportunities that they would not have had where they were coming from.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as far as you were mentioning the public and the community, I would love to be able to walk anyone that asks. I would love to be able to walk them through what we do and what we're able to do and what we've seen these girls able to accomplish. But at the same time, I've got to respect their privacy, and I've got to respect that they might not want that broadcast. Mm-hmm. Now, the young lady that I was talking about is going to Georgia Tech. She actually turned 18 recently, and we were able to, she agreed and actually wanted to be in the video that we made for the golf tournament. And I'm hoping that we can get that up onto our website, www.oahome.org, and our Facebook page. So we could get that broadcast and we could get that scene.
And that was going to be my next transition point for people to find out more information about the organization, to get involved in next year's golf tournament, connect in any way that, you know, like, hey, this story rings true to me. This is something I want to help with. Or, you know, I like playing golf on Fridays and, you know, I might as well play golf and, you know, a new course and see if I really know how to read a green.
This is a gorgeous course.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's nice to play golf and just, you know, look up and see mountain range.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous course. It's an excellent opportunity. And then, you know, if you can do what you like doing and it's for a good cause.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what would be better than that.
Yeah. On Facebook, you're at where?
Facebook, we're at Open Arms Blue Ridge. Yeah, we're always looking for people that want to help out. Anything under the sun. If you can think of a teenager and what they might need help with, mm-hmm. like I mentioned before, we got people that want to come in to help with job searches, resume writing, interviewing skills. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as cooking, or these girls love doing arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. We got ladies that volunteered their time to go horseback riding with them.
Awesome.
Anything under the sun that you would think a teenager would want to do.
Cool.
Anything to get them off their phones.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Mike, I know you got more hands to shake and people to see out here, so I appreciate your time and sharing your story.
Thank you, sir.
All right, next up is Wesley Buchanan. Wesley, you probably have one of the best jobs in, I don't even know, the state, maybe. Like, this is your home office. I'm extremely jealous. Yeah, so are you hiring, adopting? Like,
just adopted our first child, matter of fact. Yep.
So so let's start with where you're from, how you got here to begin with.
Sure. Originally from Noonan, Georgia.
Okay.
So I grew up there, played all kinds of sports, didn't really play golf growing up a lot. Played baseball and basketball and football, and got into golf my sophomore year of high school, and I kind of wrote the story from there. So I played on the golf team and then went off to college and graduated with a communications degree.
Okay.
From Georgia College. Go did Bobcats.
Did you play golf in college?
I didn't play golf there.
No.
No, just recreationally.
Okay.
Moved to Birmingham, Alabama and worked at a CBS TV station there at the CBS affiliate. So did that for about a year and worked part-time as well at a golf course there, and got to where I liked going to the golf course more than the TV station. So
go figure.
Moved home and got in the golf business full time, and so been in it about 10 years now.
Oh,
so.
Wow. Okay. And have you been here for as far as your professional golf world, work world?
So my wife and I moved to Ellijay in 2015.
Okay.
I got a job at a golf course in the area, so we relocated. We were starting to look for something in the mountains. We both love being up here. Mm-hmm. So it provided a lot of recreational activities for us that we enjoyed. So it just worked out that I was able to find a job, and so we made the move and have been here ever since.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about, for this is my first time physically here, for people who have not been to the property, give us a kind of bird's eye view of the course, course features, anything that you would share with somebody calling in that's like, hey, tell us about your course or you know, your property facility.
Sure. We have a beautiful property here. It has a lot of different distinct features. We have mountains, we have hills, we have long range views, we have flat down by the Tocoa River, and all of that plays in on the golf course as well. So the golf course was designed by Bunker Hill Golf, and they had partnered and were a part of Core Crenshaw Design before that. So a lot of those elements you see here, a lot of tall natural native areas, a lot of heather grass, Broom's Edge. So a lot of that comes into play when you're playing golf. But we also have generous fairways and big greens as well. So it's a great golf course for our members because it gives you something different every time you play. And it's a great golf course for first timers with the scenic views, with the playability of the golf course. It's always in great shape. And so, but yeah, the property itself, we have a lot of great, like I said, features of the property. We've just finished hiking trails. It's a big loop that goes all the way around the property. So our members have really enjoyed that. And it just gives them another avenue to be outside and experience what Old Tocoa Farm is.
And there's homes on the property?
There are. So there are homes being built. So we have sold lots, and now they're building their custom homes. We're getting close to about 30 homes complete.
Okay.
And about that many under construction.
Okay. Any, I know this is asking numbers off the top of my head, any idea on how many other lots or spaces there are for sale? Or
I think when it's all said and done, there's going to be about 300 plus rooftops in here. So That includes our stay and play cottages, which are currently under construction.
Okay.
And so they're on the seventh hole, and they'll be short-term rental stay and play cottages. So folks can come, stay on property. Our tavern is nearing completion and ready to open, so they'll be able to eat and drink, play golf, walk on the trails, fish the river, all while they're staying here on property.
Yeah. That sounds dreamy. Yeah, to be honest, that gets me a little giddy.
It's gonna be a great amenity for our members and our guests. It's gonna be a great way to attract people to experience the totality of the culture and environment that is Old Tocoa Farm.
Mm-hmm. What is your what's your signature hole? Do you have a signature hole that you would say is kind of one of your postcard
holes? I'd say we have one on the front and one on the back nine.
Okay.
The one on the front nine would be number six. So it's about a 400-yard par four. Mm-hmm. It plays downhill all the way from the tee box to the green. And the Tocoa River runs right behind the green. So from the tee box, you've not only got a long-range mountain view, you're looking down the golf hole to the Tocoa River. And it just makes for a great birdie chance. You can drive it, you know, a good drive. You might could drive it all the way down to the green.
Wow.
And then the distinct feature is our little barn on the right side of the hole that was original to the property.
Hmm.
So that provides a little bit of shaping and viewing. And then number 12, it's one of the highest points on the golf course. It's a short par three down the hill, but you have almost a 360-degree mountain view.
Wow.
And so it's just a really, really beautiful spot. Mm. A lot of pictures taken there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, great golf hole.
Yeah, yeah. So as if you needed any more description in the beauty of the property, sometimes we just need quick little day trip getaway or a long weekend getaway to just kind of recharge and enjoy the sweat equity and the work that we do day to day. So this would not disappoint on coming up this direction.
Absolutely. And a lot of our play is non-member play. So we take non-member play as well as private and member play. So non-members can book tee times 1 week in advance.
Okay.
And we're open 6 days a week. We're closed on Tuesdays.
Okay.
So and the tee times are open for them to enjoy, and we do get a lot of people leaving, you know, Atlanta for the day or the weekend, and a lot of our play comes from that. And you know, we're starting to attract out of Chattanooga a little bit, and
yeah,
we were ranked number 8 best new golf course in 2020 in the country. So that notoriety has definitely, you know, given us a little attention and attracted people from a little further out than just say Atlanta or Chattanooga.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that end, how do people find you online, the course, website, Facebook, social media, however?
Yep, so Instagram, Facebook, Old Tocoa Farm. That's our page there. You'll see updates, you'll see pictures, things that are going on here at the golf course, events, stuff like that. Our website is also oldtocoafarm.com. So it'll also have, you know, information on not only golf, but real estate and other amenities of the property and the tavern and all that good stuff.
Okay, up next we have Alan Shulman. Is that pronounced that correctly?
That's correct.
So Alan is with the local Habitat organization and part of the nonprofit benefactor here at the Old Tocoa Farm. So Alan, give us a little bit of backstory. You're originally from where?
Well, originally from New York.
Okay, so we got like a Yankee Candle going on today.
But I've been in Georgia since 1974.
Okay, you qualify as a local.
Oh yeah, I've been here a long time.
We'll give you a pass. and how did you get connected with Habitat? How long have you been involved with the local Habitat?
Well, we moved up here to North Georgia permanently 6 years ago.
Okay.
And looking for something to do. I retired.
Okay.
Looking for something to do. And met Chris Hall, who's the executive director. And he was doing what we call helping hands work, which is smaller projects like wheelchair ramps. We replaced a deck.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of actually using my hands, hammering some nails and using a saw was cool stuff.
Yeah.
So that's how I got involved. Yeah. We did a couple of helping hands projects. And then for some reason, mentioning the kinds of work that I did, I'm an IT person for 40 years.
Okay.
So Chris said, you know, we really could use your skills as treasurer. Yeah. He said, all you have to do is sign a couple of checks. Yeah. He lied.
It's the biggest lie on the planet.
That's all you have to do. So I got involved. It's been about 6 years that I've been involved.
Okay.
And then part of building, we're actually our third house since I started.
Okay.
In McKaysville. And that's pretty much it. Just, you know, looking for something to do and then,
yeah.
and then finding it.
Yeah, yeah. And then some.
Yeah.
So your how many years running has the golf tournament been kind of attached to the local Habitat?
This is our third or second.
Okay. And share a little bit about how the golf tournament has, yeah, how's the golf tournament helped just kind of what you tangibly get to see on the ground? You've got a unique perspective because you get to see the books on the backside, but what that goes to in terms of impacting the local community and what Habitat does.
So we have a Habitat Restore.
Mm-hmm. I love the Restore. I don't know whose idea the Restore was.
It's a great idea.
But I want to give them a high five.
You know, it's interesting up here, the Restore is a sort of a connecting place. There are people who buy cabins
mm-hmm.
and want to replace all the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff goes to, ends up at the Restore since mm-hmm. we pick up. And then you have people who buy cabins up here who want to rent them. They don't want to buy new furniture. So right. they go to the Restore and pick up that stuff.
Yep.
So we're sort of a clearinghouse yes. for people like that. As a treasurer, I will tell you that most of the affiliate costs, the administrative costs, are covered by the Restore.
Wow.
Which means that most of, maybe over 90% of contributions, like what's going to, the fundraiser is going to generate here, actually goes to building houses.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So there aren't many other nonprofits that can say that 90 plus of your money
yeah.
actually goes to, you know, the nonprofit itself.
Yeah. And so from a standpoint of you know, really being, knowing that your contribution, your donation, your whole sponsorship, whatever, here physically, tangibly translates into someone having a roof over their head.
That's exactly right.
In the local community.
Right.
And you're getting to do that at one of the most scenic, beautiful golf courses in the state.
That's right.
It's really kind of hard to lose.
That's right. Know? I mean,
like, even if you're a terrible golfer like me, it's hard to lose.
And it's also a great day today. I mean,
yeah.
it's beautiful outside.
Yeah.
It's a perfect day. So most people don't realize, and I didn't realize this when I started with Habitat, is we don't give houses away.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, you know, for people who they've seen Habitat, they kind of know, like, Habitat builds homes, and then tell us something else about Habitat, well, I got nothing. Talk a little bit about that in terms of how someone, you know, qualifies to be on the list, and then how Habitat goes through the vetting and screening process to make sure the right person is in line for that.
Yeah, one thing that most people don't realize, that these are affordable homes with a mortgage. And the reason why they're affordable is we have lots of volunteer hours that replace costly contractor hours. And lots of stuff is donated to, you know, the house itself. So a local business might donate a roof or windows or whatever. And the contractors themselves typically give us a good rate for, you know, as a nonprofit. So the house itself is now significantly less in cost than it would be if we built it with, you know, the sort of full range of home building, especially up here in North Georgia these days, right?
Yes, yes.
The people we look for actually can afford a mortgage, although it's an affordable mortgage compared to the standard.
Right.
So we look for someone with need. We look for someone with the ability to pay, which of course is much lower than a standard mortgage. And then we look for someone who's willing to partner with us because we require sweat equity. We want someone to actually be with us elbow to elbow in building that house. So the notion of ownership, I mean, they really put their their stuff into it. So that's what we look for. And then we do a sort of recruitment right, and look for people to show up and apply. Mm-hmm. And then we go through a selection process looking at those three criteria.
Yeah, and I think those three are all important. The most people would understand the first one, not necessarily the second one, that they're, you know, they've got to have the ability to pay, which means they need to be able to keep a job, and they need to have the ability to, you know, to be responsible for that.
Right.
Those of us who have kids, you know, if your kids have some equity in what they're doing, they usually have a little bit more ownership and care a little bit more of the result and the finished product, if you will, if they've got some actual investment in it or some reward from it. That's a great system that I think is important for people to know that it's not, it's not a house handout. It's truly there's a need, and we're going to make sure that we're vetting and qualifying people. So you're not shelling out something for nothing, and at the same time, you're not setting someone up for failure immediately.
So yeah, the notion really is it's a hand up, not a handout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's affordable housing. Someone else called it like workforce housing. We're up here in North Georgia. It's hard to find people who can actually pay to live in the same area they work.
Yeah.
So you have someone who, you know, would love to have a job and, you know, can't afford a place to live. So it's, again, reasonable, affordable mm-hmm. housing.
So I know you got a busy day today. How do people find out about the local Habitat here, social media, website, phone numbers? How would they go about getting plugged in? Either just, hey, I've got some time coming up. Maybe I'm entering the promised land of retirement, and I've got some time back in my life and schedule. What's a good way for them to connect with you guys?
So we have a website.
Okay.
Do Habitat Fannin Gilmer.
Okay.
Fannin space Gilmer dash Gilmer. You'll find the website. You'll also find a Facebook page.
Perfect. Awesome.
And if you want to volunteer on the, or actually look for, if you want to do homeowner selection, mm-hmm. you want to be part of that process, on the website you can do both. You can register as a volunteer and also pick up information on being a homeowner.
Great. Well, yeah, it's hard to go wrong with this tournament here today in any way, shape, and form. A couple of really, really great causes, beautiful scenery, and like we talked about, tangible benefit in the local community in some really great ways. So, Alan, thanks for giving us a couple minutes of your time.
Thank you.
This is the North Georgia Life Podcast. Embrace life where you live.